This conference will now be recorded.
All right, well, we're going to go ahead, and even as Don had stated early on tonight, and God bless you, and of course, definitely giving honor to our pastor and our first lady and our leadership at College Park. This is our part two of rejection. We're picking up from where we started on last week, where we were talking about family secrets, and we started looking at rejection. So what we're planning on doing on tonight is there are some questions, and so I'm just going to give a recap of where we were last week, and we're going to present some questions came in, some questions that you may have, and then we're going to continue on to, the purpose that we can find in rejection, as well as shift into forgiveness. So we're going to shift. We're not going to cover the full gamut of forgiveness. We're just going to touch on it on tonight so that we can continue on it later. Now, we do know that once we start getting into soul issues and issues such as this and pain, you know, it's just one of these things where it's a process. It takes layers depending on what you've gone through, depending on what type of trauma you've been through. It may actually be several layers of just healing, of discussion that you may need to go through until you get your full level of freedom. As we had stated last week, hurt people hurt people, and heal people heal people. And so we're talking about this subject because we want to be able to be in a position where we can deal with our own soul issues and we can deal with our pain. So I do want to say thank you to all of those who did give feedback. Some of the feedback came via text message after the call. Some people called me. Some people sent text messages through other people. We absolutely love the feedback. So I did also put a form on the front page of the website, which is it's an anonymous form. It's a form that you can submit. So if you want to share a testimony anonymously, if you want to give a feedback anonymously, that link is also on the web page, and we've already gotten people to use that link. So we do appreciate it, not just for this call, but as we have other teachers who are teaching midweek and other topics and different things that we're going on that are happening for midweek teaching, we encourage you to continue to give us feedback because we appreciate it. It helps give us direction. Now, last week we were talking about rejection and how rejection is basically how, you know, it's one feeling whether they're not loved or they're feeling they're judged or that they're excluded in some way. That they're dismissed in some way. And so this is where we are going to continue on tonight. I'm going to just give a recap of as best I can from last week. And then we're gonna start talking about the questions that came in, and I'm going to open it up to see if there are any on the call who have questions as well. So last week we were talking about Judah and Tamar. And this is from, we started in Genesis chapter 38. We basically stayed in Genesis chapter 38. And we were talking about Judah and Tamar. And one of the things that we did cover last week in regards to Judah was we were talking about the cycles of rejection that was in this particular family. We touched a little bit about his mom, Leah, how she was rejected, how the scripture says that her husband did not love her. The scripture says in Genesis 29 that when the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, that he opened up her womb. We also touched on how Leah, how she continued she had a lot of kids, but she would say, if I give him another son, maybe he will love me. So we talk about how his mother had a lot of rejection in her heart. We also touched a little bit on Judah's brother, Joseph, who was the son of Rachel. Rachel was the wife that Jacob loved, and how the brothers were jealous of when Rachel did have a son. Her first son was Joseph, and how the brothers were actually jealous of Joseph. In the scripture, chapter 37 of Genesis, we're introduced to the jealousy and how the brothers sell Joseph off as a slave. And so we looked at that level of rejection. And then here we are in the backdrop of Genesis chapter 38, where Judah has three sons, and his oldest son is married to a lady named Tamar. The scripture says this son, his name is Ur, that he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and so he died. And so based off of tradition and based off of that time, Tamar was given to be married to the second son. And the scripture talks about how the second son would sleep with her, but he would intentionally not get her pregnant. And so based on tradition, Tamar should marry the third son, but the scripture talks about how Judah saw Tamar as being cursed, and he told her that he would wait till his third son, his youngest son, is older, and then he would give her to be married to him, but he had no intention of keeping his word. And so one day when Judah's wife died, Tamar dressed up as a prostitute, and she had sex with her father-in-law and got pregnant. And this is where closed off in scripture. We didn't get, we kind of summarized to the tail end of it. But basically, when Judah found out his daughter-in-law was pregnant, he says, she should, put her to death. Let's burn her to death. So that's kind of where we stopped, and we're going to pick up off tonight. However, there were some questions that came in, and I'm just going to start right there and to kind of open it up to see if there's any commentary or anything that anyone wants to share on tonight based off of what we discussed on last week. Any thoughts or reflections of last week's discussion?
Minister Michelle, I just want to say that the lesson was a very inspiring lesson, and it opened up where people could really come in and discuss some of the things that they've experienced in their own lives. A lot of times, we as just people, we don't want to discuss things that happened to us in our past, and therefore we keep that locked in. And it's just like when we keep something locked in, it's like a sore that festers. And I'm sure you had a little bump or something, and you have to burst it. You have to get it out and let that out. And when you get that festering out of there, which is really infection, but this is, I'm talking about rejection, when you find out the root of it, and then you get to the root of the matter, then you can deal with it. You can work with it. Sometimes you might have to wash it with a little Dial soap. Sometimes you might have to scrape it with something. But you can get to the root of the matter and clean it out. And when we have had rejection in our past lives, it used to kind of leave a scar on us one way or the other. And most of us, especially our race of people, we've never been able to deal with a lot of things that happened to us in our past life. Most of us, we just kind of bury it in the back of our mind, and it just kind of sit there and fester, and we never come to be able to bring it out in the open to talk to it, because one of the things, it carries such a stigma in our race. You know, if you, a person said they've got some mental challenges, then people look at them in a downward manner. You know, and a lot of people, they just would not open up. So in the lesson that you taught on last week, it gives us as a people to know that we can open up. And we can stand on the word of God because he will help us when we come to the conclusion that we can talk to somebody. And that's another thing. People are afraid to talk to people because there was a situation that I won't mention that happened to a young lady some years ago in a particular church. And in this particular church, the pastor told his wife when she went in confidence to ask what to do. Well, he told his wife, and the wife had a friend and told her friend, so therefore it got out over the whole church. Well, guess what? The lady quit going to church. She said she would never go back to church.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's a matter of trust in a lot of times, too. Thank you. Yes.
Minister Lester, this is Sister Watson.
Hey, Mama.
How you doing, babe? I would like to comment on, kind of piggyback on some of the things that Sister Session was saying. I think a lot of the reason why Blacks don't like to open up like they should open up or like they would like to open up is because a lot of it is embarrassment, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you would be embarrassed if I just say if I would talk to Sister Session and tell her I wanted to be in confidence, just she and I, just you know, just keep it between you and I. Okay. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I know I didn't talk to nobody but her.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden someone else knows about it.
Yes,
this is the reason why I feel like we don't mm-hmm. feel comfortable in opening up to just in anybody.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. What you ladies have said is so very right and so very good. My wife and I have been teaching very tough topics for many years. And the reason why we attack these topics is not for everyone to spill the beans in a sense to everybody. But on these topics, there have been people on our line that are getting deliverance because that hurt is still there. We've had mm-hmm. people with these wounds for 80 years. Now, if y'all can believe somebody has lived with a wound for 80 years that came to us and said, because of the discussion, they were able to release that and get some deliverance. We have some young people that are involved, including myself. I have a testimony tonight of a 25-year-old that's lasted over 25 years on rejection. And I'm not going to cover it now because we need to stay in order. But that particular rejection for 25 years not only scarred an adult, it scarred the kids. The kids are suffering from that rejection. And I have people that don't speak to other people because of that rejection. But like I said, we'll cover all that. So by trying to bring out these tough topics, and it's not only women. Let's look at it from a reverse point of view. One of the most embarrassing things in the church is when a woman is raped. What about when a man is raped in the church? You know, these are things that we could not talk about out in the open, because that man, no matter how he's trying to change his life, can you imagine? I'm going to turn it back over to my wife before I start getting too deep, but I agree wholeheartedly with you, lady.
Could I say something about that, what you just said?
Yes, ma'am.
Pertaining to a man and a woman. Mm-hmm. If a lady get raped, or if a man, if a man is a drunk, and every time you look up, he's somewhere drunk, don't know whether don't know his head from holding ground, just to make a long story mm-hmm. short. But the mm-hmm. thing about it is this, but if a lady is doing that, if a lady get drunk, they will demonize and criticize us. First thing they would up and say is this right here. Oh, don't fool with that old woman because she don't do nothing but lay around, and every time you see her, she's drunk.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. If a man is drunk, they have a different outlook on a man than a woman. Because if a man get drunk and he's laying all out, all he got to do is go home, clean up, put on mm-hmm. him a suit, and step out. And that's it. Done. You see what I'm saying? But if a lady go there, clean up, do her hair, just dress up and all this, we just saw her the other day. She still ain't nothing but a tramp. You see what I'm saying? So it's so hard for a lady to be a lady forever. And a man can just wallow whatever. But he's always going to keep his dignity. You see what I'm saying? But they want to dominize and criticize a woman. But see, this is where I think a lot of the problem come in too. Is because if anybody see us laying out of whatever, that ain't never old tramp. You see what I'm saying? But Mr. John is going to stay Mr. John, regardless of who or whatever go down.
I'm with you on that. You got me laughing here, but you're right, because we see that even in our house. We see that. But, these topics have to be discussed like we're discussing them now. And even when you're thinking about rejection, why are black men are being killed around the country? They're being rejected because white people know that we're going to be successful parents. They know that we're going to be successful business owners. They want to keep us under the fear of rejection. They're scared that the white women want to marry the black men. Our women are marrying white men for happiness. There's a whole lot of topics that we can talk about when it comes to rejection and double standards. That's what you're talking about, Mother Watson. Those double standards that are created, even in the ministry.
Right, and I think one of the important things that we want to just keep in mind as we're having these studies, there are some different perceptions in which people would see us, and whether we say white people or black people or whatever. But one of the things that I just want to keep in mind, even as we shift over the next couple of weeks, is outside of how people see us, how we see ourselves is important, especially us as believers. I mean, I'm not saying point fingers or anything else. There may be someone else that may have a conclusion or may have a judgment, but we are talking about these more importantly, that as when we get into the word and we eat the word and we seek our Father and we pray, we need to make sure that we are seeing ourselves as he sees us, and we should be seeing ourselves. So I know the white man may be thinking all this and all of these different things, but how do we see ourselves? One of the things that I was really important that I appreciated from Sister Verbi and Sister Sessions was what was saying about how we, I think Sister Sessions said something about, when we don't talk about things, it's like a sore that festers and we kind of, lock. And that's typically what we do. We try to avoid things. We try to discuss things. And we suffer in silence because we don't want to talk. But it's just a matter of knowing. And I think somebody else said something too. I think it was maybe one of these mamas said something about, sharing something with somebody at the church. We have to use discernment, and we have to be prayerful about who we share stuff with. Okay. It's just like this call. We're going to be sharing, Don and I are going to be giving some testimonies, and we're going to be sharing some things, but prayerfully sharing some things. But this may not be the forum for you to give your testimony. This may not be the forum for you to get your healing. I'm not for sure. So when we look to figure out who is in our inner circle, who can we trust, whether it's some siblings or not siblings, whether we go to counseling, and even in going to counseling and going to therapy. So Sister Sessions said about the stigma about mental health. It's almost like looking for the right church. You cannot just search on the corner and say, I found my church home, I found my church family.
You may have to
be intentional about being where God has called you and God has placed you. It's the same with counseling. You may have to go through a couple of people. You may have to be prayerful about which therapist and which and all of these different things. But one of the things that I love about counseling is because you typically get people who don't know you and people who can't tell your mama or tell the people in the church that don't know these different people about you that can really help you get the help that you need. Sometimes we just need an ear to listen. We just need somebody to talk. And as we allow that stuff to come up and talk things out, that's just another way of deliverance. So I just want to say this, and then I'm going to be quiet because we have some others that want to share. People have asked me, you know, you're a believer, and God, what was the question he said? Don't you trust God, or can God heal you or something like that? Or why don't you, you're an intercessor. Why don't you believe in prayer? Mm-hmm. I believe in prayer. I just want to share my own personal experience. I believe in prayer. Prayer works. Prayer works.
Yes. I believe in prayer too.
Yes.
Prayer changes
things. Just like insulin works. Just like BC powder and sandbag work when you got a headache. Just like if you have dialysis and you need to take Renagel, that works. If you have high cholesterol and you take a cholesterol pill, that pill works. So prayer, the fact that prayer works does not negate the fact that God has given us other tools and resources to be able to use. As we said in scripture, Jesus may have passed by a lot of sick people just to heal the one. Okay, but there were people still left sick. Why? People had a different pathway to healing. So I'm just saying when I advocate for therapy and I advocate for mental health, I'm just saying that I'm not saying that prayer doesn't work, but you can prayerfully ask God to lead you to the right mental health professional to get you the help that you need, just like we go to the right doctors to get the medical help that we need.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm.
I did have one more. This isn't a question. This is a question that came in anonymously. Last week, here's the question. It came from a visitor. I'm not for sure if the visitor is on the line, but you don't have to announce yourself if you are. I'm just going to read your question. It was a visitor on the line last week, and this question was asked. It was in regards to Tamar. In Genesis chapter 38, which we covered. The question is, what if she, Tamar, had not covered her face with the veil? Would it have been the same outcome? She asked for the things from him so she could later reveal God's plan for that specific situation. No matter how you try to hide things, the truth will prevail itself. So that was a question that came in. I wasn't for sure if there's someone on the line who wanted to address that. But she wants to, her question was, if for any reason Tamar did not hide her face with a veil, do you think it would have been the same outcome?
Well, I'm just going to send my opinion on that. I might be wrong, but I don't think it would have been, because when God has a plan set in order, it doesn't change. And that was already set in order.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Now, as I had read further, after he had realized his mistake when he had told everyone to kill her, he didn't go out to kill her himself. He sent others to kill her. Because he was still trying to cover up that he's trying to be so righteous, but he's not really as righteous as he pretends to be. And once he finds out that he was the culprit, he did not mess with her anymore. It was like he was just convicted, and man, I did this. So God was working with him too. So I really personally, just a quick answer, I don't think he would have went through with it because he was already thinking she was cursed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, is there anyone else that wanted to share something that may be on their heart to either address this question or something to add dialogue to the conversation before we continue on?
I just wanted to add one thing, and this is for everybody. Just know that your plan is already ready. So that plan that God set for Tamar, that was already ready. Point blank. Even though that was her father-in-law, God already knew that her first husband was wicked and he was taking him out. God already knew he didn't have to come back and do anything. That was already in the plan. And he already knew that she was going to be the mother of her father-in-law's child. That was the plan.
I want to concur with you, Sister Jackson. If we go back and remember Noah, God allowed for his daughters, remember, to get him drunk, that they would bring population into the world. So there are so many things in the scriptures that God has allowed, and all of them, we won't understand all of them, but he gives us just enough to know that that was his plan, and he does allow things to happen.
And we have to remember, he said he already knew every one of us before we were even formed in our mother's womb. That's why I say he didn't have to come back and give me new instructions. He already had my instructions before birth until death. I'm already ready. I just have to walk this thing out. And if I stray, he's going to know I strayed. It's nothing that's going to surprise God. Have to understand that even when we have our problems or our depression moments or our anxieties, that doesn't surprise God. He already knew we were going to be feeling the way we're feeling. But if we yet stand on his word, when we come up against these things, he said the trials come to make you strong. It's one thing to stay wounded. It's another thing to have a scar. See, a wound is open. That wound is open, and it's doing things. But when God brings us through it, it's just a scar, and every scar has a story. So we just have to remember that God is with us. He's going to be with us to the end of the time because he told us those things. So it's a lot of stuff going on around us, and we know rejection causes people to lock down. But with God, he said, come unto me, all ye that are laboring and are heavy laden. So we should be able to release all of those things because each one of those trials have a testimony to them. Every scar have a story. And if we keep it all in, we're going to get full. But if we share some of those things, and again, we don't have to trust everybody with everything, but sometimes you may run into a person who needs your story. And you can recognize, because God gives us discernment of who we need to share this story with. That story is considered an encouragement so that that person who's going through the same thing that you have gone through can come, can know that they can overcome this because they see you, you the living testimony. I'll be quiet. Thank you.
Amen.
Very good. A lot of us are carrying baggage around us, and we know they're carrying baggage. But in Matthew 18, verse 21, Peter wanted to forgive seven times only. And in verse 22, Jesus told him to forgive 70 times 70. And what he was talking about is forgiving the same sin 7 times 70 in the same day, which is not possible. But if you can imagine, basically, he's talking about forgive them over and over again, continuously, forever. But because that baggage is going to be there. But how do we help them erase that in that baggage that they're carrying, to not only forgive the persons, but to forgive themselves?
Mm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Right. And
what was that scripture, Minister Dunn? Matthew.
That's Matthew 18, verse 21. Really, it covers verse 21 through 35.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. We're all learning together, man. I appreciate y'all, because I'll be so full. I'm on the machine now, and the ladies are talking about dialysis. I'm dialyzing now and taking my medicine.
my. Bless the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man. Well, as we continue on talking about rejection, and we look at these different stories in Scripture, and there's plenty of stories of rejection from Genesis to Revelation. We, you know, want to definitely make sure, definitely want to make sure to encourage you, especially for those who are going through rejection, to just, you know, identify those areas in your life. Now, Sister Session mentioned earlier, it's important to determine what's at the root of it. So for me, I do a lot of journaling. I do a lot of writing down so that I can kind of express what I'm feeling and to understand where I'm being triggered. Like, sometimes I'll be going up along my daily life, and then all of a sudden I'll get a flashback or something like that. But I try to identify, trigger certain things to come up. So this is why you want to continue to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to bring different things to your remembrance, and also inquire of the Lord. I ask the Lord a lot of questions. And as we're looking at those rejection and areas of rejection, you also want to see, because, you know, where is the injustice in your story? Because we've been talking about civil unrest. We've been talking about what's going on in America. We've been talking about police brutality. We've been talking about the demasculation of Black men. But also look, you know, in your own story, where do you see injustice? Because sometimes, you know, instead of looking at the outside, start with yourself and your perspective to figure out where is it that you feel that you're unjust, that you've been dealt with incorrectly. Now, for some of us, it may have been a loved one or a partner that we doubt that we would be married to. For some reason, things did not go right. For some, it may have been a rejection over a job or a house. It may have been a career that, or, you know, a business idea that bombed, or a dream that we felt was snatched away. It may be an inheritance that someone took from us, or even being disowned by parents. One of the things that came to my mind was, I don't know how many of you remember the case of Kamaya Mobley, the young lady in Florida. I think she was a 15, 16-year-old girl giving birth to her first child, and the lady went into the hospital and stole her baby. And so she, for years, praying over her child, and only to find out when her child is 16, 17, 18 years old, she finds her child. A child knows she's been kidnapped for 2 years, but still comes on to the mother that took her, the mother that raised her. And so just seeing heartbreak and how the rejection that she feels when her child has a love for a woman that took her from her biological mother. You know, for some of us, it's a rejection by our children. For some of us, it's a rejection by our parents. And so we have to be able to look at these things bigger. Sister Jackson hit on this earlier today about knowing, hey, what the will of the Lord is, how God is going to get the glory of that thing. Because this rejection that we're experiencing, regardless of who it's from, we could use it as a tool or we could use it as a crutch. We could use it as a crutch and say, you know, for years and years and years, oh, my God, you know, I should have been married to such and such by now, or if my life would be different if this had happened, or these things would have been different if only this had happened. Or we could use it as a tool to propel us to what the Lord is wanting us to do in our now and in our future. So we're going to, I think Don mentioned, Don mentioned he had a testimony to share, and then he wants to, we're going to look at the rejection from Jesus, and then we're going to shift a little bit before we get off the call on tonight.
Basically, the way I wanted to cover this, is when you're open up, you know, I try to be more of an open book as I've gotten older. My rejection happened many, many years ago. And one of the things that happened on this particular rejection was it led to unforgiveness. And basically, unforgiveness is the refusal to let go or excuse the debt owed by another, to lift it away, to hold on to something. And what happened, it's real, real simple. Each one of us that have gotten married, and you had to make a choice on who you were going to marry. I decided who I was going to marry, and fortunately right now it's my wife. But the young lady that I did not marry felt rejected. Mm-hmm. And that rejection passed down to the children. The children mm-hmm. that grew up felt like I rejected them. For 25 years, these kids saw me and told me that they hid in the clothing stores and in the grocery stores and wouldn't speak to me because their mother hated me so much because I married someone else. Mm-hmm. I have a son that basically he sold drugs to take care of his mother and his sister. She's handicapped, and he did this for years. And because he felt rejected, and he had to do this. I have another son, the other son whose mother raised them to think that I had rejected them. He took care of all the kids while mom was at work. He felt like that was his job. And no matter how I've tried to repair that, the unforgiveness is there. And I know we're going to cover unforgiveness, but still to this day, 40 years later, these kids do not have a dialogue with me, and I can't dialogue with them. Mm-hmm. And this is just me sharing something that is extremely painful. Mm-hmm. Birthdays come around, you can't call because they don't want to talk. You know, they change their number. You know, I'm open. We can always talk. But that rejection sometimes has cut so deep, or the mm-hmm. feeling of rejection has cut so deep. And, you know, it got to the point that God can't even go in their lives. And I just wanted to give that testimony and pass it on. Mm-hmm.
You know, Brother Lester, I think a lot of times when children are young like that and they with their mom, and I believe the mom played too big of a part with that. Just because you and her couldn't get along, mm-hmm. and you sit there and the mother sit there and talk about the dad in front of the children. And that should be a no-no, too. But this is what made them probably feel the way they feel, is because every word that the mom probably was saying something about your father, it was something mm-hmm. that went up the park. And this makes the children feel rejected due to the fact that, well, yeah, you know your daddy, he ain't no good, and he's this and he's that. Well, see, that hurts. Mm. And that rubs right on off on the children. And the more the kids grow up, that still is going to be still in them.
Yes, so.
And I feel like that's a lot of the reason why the kids feel the way they feel like that. By the mom talking and going on against the dad in front of the children. Now, the reason why I say what I'm saying is this right here. Thomas and I, whenever we would discuss different things pertaining to the family or the children, we would never discuss it in the front of the children.
Amen to that, sister.
Due to the fact because the kids, they still, their mind wasn't mature enough to understand what, you know, we were talking about. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And when the kids and fame were go to bed, or either when Thomas and I would go to bed, then this is when we would discuss different things. We wouldn't discuss it in front of the children.
Mm-mm.
And I think that is a terrible thing for a mom, even though the mother probably had to raise the kids by themselves. But that's where they should let God take care of it.
Amen.
It's no reason for her to brainwash the children and letting them think that the dad, he's no earthly good. He won't do this and he won't do that. And I think that's wrong.
Yeah,
and I'm through with that, because that kind of stuff, that kind of upsets me.
Well, woman of God, I've covered this with Pastor, and I'm sharing this with you guys. I went to court 25 years to try to rectify. I took care of them from a distance, but you know, when it cuts that deep and you have kids 45 that don't speak, it's tough. But you know, Pastor brought something to my remembrance, that Jesus faced rejection from his own family members. Scripture tells us that not even his brothers believed in him. That's in John 7:5. Jesus faced rejection from his community. When Jesus returned home to Nazareth, neighbors that he grew up with and family friends, they took offense in him. You know, it was just like he would walk up and just smell bad. People just walk out. That's in Matthew 13:57. He said he was without honor in his hometown. Scripture even says that Jesus did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. They just did not believe in him. He knows what it's like to lose the love and support of the community, to feel unwelcome in a place that was once home. Jesus faced rejection from people who once claim to love him. Judas sold him out for some pieces of silver. Now that's like your family member that went and took something and said, go on and kill him. You know, it's all right. Peter, before the rooster crows three times, you'll deny me. Peter said he would never deny. Jesus faced rejection from his father. He felt like he was rejected. As he hung on the cross, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Matthew 27:46. It's interesting, Jesus didn't ask, why am I in such pain, God? Why do I have to endure this, God? He asked, why have you forsaken me? I just wanted to drop that because I've tried to cover this, and sometimes it seems like those wounds can't be healed. But you know something? I know that the Heavenly Father can heal them.
And when they get that, when they get in that situation, that's the only thing that you can do is turn it over to God and let him fix it. And when he fixes it, no one else can tear it down.
All right. Glory. That's shouting there. That's shouting ground.
Amen. Well, before we wrap up tonight, and I am going to open it up to see if there are some others who want to share, because I know that we're kind of stuffing quite a bit in this hour. I am going to give a quick testimony and release the word of the Lord. But before I do that, I do want to say this, because my husband hit on something, because we are going to be, you know, as we're talking about, start talking about family reconciliation, and we start talking about forgiveness, which we'll do on another week. One of the things that we've learned in Genesis chapter 38, verse 24, that when Judah found out Tamar was pregnant, he said, burn her to death. He made that declaration. Tamar presented items which was proof to prove that he was the father of those children. And immediately Judah was convicted. And you can see him at a place of reconciliation. You can see him at a place of conviction. You see him at a place of forgiveness. And I think when you're talking about children, especially if you haven't been there for 25 years, 30 years, 40 years, you have to be willing, whatever the case may be, to have the necessary, if they're alive, to have the necessary conversation. And I know some stuff can be heard, and sometimes we dog people out and we talk bad about people and stuff like that. But you have to be necessary conversation, because outside of baby mamas and baby daddies and all these different things, you have children that have a level of pain that without those conversations, that wound will be there. So as we start getting into unforgiveness next week, be prayerful about the conversations that you may need to initiate, about the conversations that you may need to happen so that you can get to a place where there is reconciliation, because we can't always start looking at other people. Well, you did this and you did this and you said that, when in reality, there may be some responsibility on your part as well. Yeah. So I just want to prayerfully say that,
because I'm dealing with my own father wound, mother wound issues. So I know personally what that means. Now, before I share this quick testimony and the word of the Lord that he gave me, what we're going to do next week, because as we were talking about forgiveness and Dunn opened the door for that, we see how Judah, when he forgives quickly. He forgives quickly and hurry. However, this scripture is in the crux, right in the middle, like this Genesis 38. In the previous chapter, we see Judah and his brothers. We see them being jealous over Joseph, and they sell him into slavery. And what we're going to do next week, I want to get some volunteers that's going to be able to go through the scripture and share. But what we want to do next week is we want to be able to look to see how Joseph forgives. Joseph does not forgive swiftly, nor does he forgive quickly. Joseph goes through several different emotions. He goes through several different things as far as what he's doing. He goes through all types of mental ups and down roller coaster. He plays these games because his forgiveness is not swiftly, and it's really painful. And what I want to do is I want to be able to break down those scriptures chapter by chapter. We're going to look at 42, 43, 44, and 45. And I want to get volunteers that can either, that can kind of take one chapter and be able to tell us all of the different emotions that he go through, because it's painful. And I know sometimes when we're talking about forgiveness, for some of us, it may take years. Some of us are people are dead and in the grave, and we still holding on to stuff. And so we want to be able to get to that place of freedom. So so before I do that, let me share this testimony. One of the things that Dunn, we won't be able to cover it tonight because I'm looking at the time. But one of the things, the scripture that was really on my mind was Psalm 118:22, where it says, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And one of the things that I was looking at, the architectural meaning behind the cornerstone, how even in the building, when a building is set, when it's established, there's the cornerstone that is, that pretty much the angles and the weight, I mean, the cornerstone, it has this job that it has to do to secure the building. Sometimes, in addition to the cornerstone, you may see, like we have at church, there's this plaque on the side of the building that says who the trustees were. And some cornerstones are there for remembrance. It's there to commemorate a thing. And so that's what we have to do with, you know, this rejection. It's about where we're going. Sometimes we think that stuff is happening because of just us, but it's actually we're doing stuff for the benefit of others as well. And so we have to know where we're going, where the Lord is leading us. And I heard Pastor Hart Ramsey say this. People that are rejected, some people think that the rejection is that they're missing out, but it really means that they're being singled out. You feel like everyone was invited but you, God is singling you out, and he's separating you for a reason. I'm going to give before we end, I'm going to give a short testimony, but I want to see if there are others who want to share, who didn't get an opportunity to share, that wanted to add something on tonight. Okay. Just wanted to make sure, because I know we had a lot to get in. Okay. So what we're going to do is I'm going to give this short testimony. I'm going to release the word that the Lord gave me. And then we'll see who is available for homework on next week. So is really quiet. Can y'all hear me right? I had shared previously, so what I'm going through, which is basically my ministry that the Lord has given me that I'm going to launch, so I won't be talking about that in detail on tonight, but basically finding out at the age of 36 that my father's not my biological father. I'm in a member of a secret group that's online, which is about 8,000 people, 8,000 adults who found out at the age of 20, 30, 40, 50. Some of these people are 80 years old, 90 years old, finding out that the person that they thought their dad is not their father. Okay, so we're part of this secret group or whatever. Some people were able to figure out who their father was, some not, like myself. Okay, so I have been waiting, 4 years of hope, 4 years of prayer, 4 years of fasting, 4 years of declaring the scripture, Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. 4 years I've been waiting to find, different answers and stuff like that. And so anyway, I was excited about God doing new different things in this season. I was excited about how he's reconciling families. I was excited about how he had big dreams. I had these different big dreams and we were on the prayer call talking about open doors and open opportunities and all that. So anyway, I'm just excited and I'm feeling some kind of way and I'm thinking, you know what, this is the time. This is my time, right? So I lead and I reach out to about 9 or 12 people. I mean, I pretty much have it narrowed down to two families who daddy is, right? So I reach out to about 9 or 12 people in each family too, because all I really need is a conversation. All I really need is a conversation. Somebody to be able to, it really don't, when you got it narrowed down, if you get some people that is willing to work with you, you can pretty much close this, I'm ready to close this chapter in my life. Okay, so I'm waiting. And so as we begin to start talking about Black pain and different stuff like that, well, when you start teaching topics like this, God will put you in a position where you have to walk this stuff out. You're going to be a first partaker of what you you teach and stuff like that. So I'm hearing from my soul, and because I'm waiting, I'm reaching out to these people. I'm waiting. No answer, right? So I'm hearing from my soul, and in my soul, I journal. I always write down what I think of. So I'm writing down these different emotions, my mind, stuff that's coming up, and I'm thinking about, I'm damaged goods, I'm unclaimed, I'm unwanted, I hate my life. Because the difference is, and I'm not going to get into tonight, but for those of you who don't know, when your soul speaking is different from your spirit speaking. Your soul speaking is, it's your will, it's your emotions, it's your pain, it's your trauma, it's what you've been through. Okay, so I'm journaling this stuff. I'm feeling some kind of way, and I'm really just I'm ready to numb the pain. Okay, so anyway, because I feel like I put myself out there and stuff like that. So anyway, 2 weeks go by, and I get a message, and I say, okay, and the message basically say, hey, we want to set up a family meeting the next day, right? So I'm like, yes, this is it. You know what I'm saying? I'm excited. This is it. I've been waiting 4 years for this. You know what I'm saying? I'm reaching out to my inner circle. I'm saying, hey, the people that have been praying for me, the people that have been celebrating with me and stuff like that, over the last 4 years, they in celebration, they rejoicing, they happy, they all this stuff. And I'm thinking like, this is my day. You know what I'm saying? I've been fasting for months out of 4 years. I have been praying for years. I mean, I have been doing everything for 4 years waiting, okay? So next day come, I'm anticipating, this. I'm excited to be able to get the answer which I have been pressing the Lord for. And so I done got my introduction together, my questions, my stuff, to talk about who I am and all this other stuff. Well, the day came and it did not turn out how I expected. It did not turn out how I expected. And so I, by the end of the day, you know, I'm expecting, you know, to be able to get some answers. I'm expecting at least out of somewhere out of 12 people, at least, you know, what I'm going to have 1 to 2, maybe 3 people who may be, you know, on my side of help. But, you know, everybody is not going to feel the same kind of way. But by the end of the night, to make the story short, by the end of the night, instead of me getting the answers and the questions that I am wanting to get, and by the end of the night, I feel like I have, from 9 people, I feel like I got 9 daggers stuck in my heart. I feel like I have been stabbed 9 times, okay?
Wow.
I'm still trying to talk now. I'm still, my soul is still speaking. My soul is still saying damaged goods. My soul is still saying all these different things, right? My soul is still feeling some kind of way, and I don't hear the Lord say anything. I don't hear the Lord say anything. So what I began to do, let me meet this line right quick. So what I began to do is, I began to, the next morning I get up, I don't hear the Lord say anything. I'm praying for a friend on the phone, and I get to the gas station, and when I get to the gas station, the Lord begins to speak.
At the gas station, the Lord begins to speak. So I'm gonna release the word that the Lord said. I'm gonna release the word that the Lord in the atmosphere. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know you're going through, if this word is for you, because I did say, Lord, is this something for me to share, or is this something for me to keep to myself?
I'm going to release it, and if you want to, you can pick it up. If you want to, if you feel it's for you, you can pick it up. So here's the word of the Lord. I'm at the gas station,
and this is what I hear in my spirit. The Lord says,
I hear these 3 words. And it says, the Spirit says, the shut door. The shut door. And the Lord is saying, when I press into what the Lord is saying about the shut door, the Lord says, my child, you are standing before a shut door. It's a door that I shut. It's a door that I closed. It's a door that I sealed. For it was me that hid you, and it was me that caused the separation between you and thee. Yes, I have heard your cries. Yes, I have touched your tears. And yes, I have seen your desires. But unless I remove the lock, your persistence is in vain. Through this suffering, I have given you an impartation, and it shall not be taken away from you. I kept you. It was I that protected you, and it will be I that deliver you. I will replenish that which was leaking from the wounds in your heart. I have sized you for what lies ahead. I have called you to a people, and just as I have made a way for you, go and prepare a place for those that I've called you to. Rule, roar, and reign, and use this pain as a cornerstone, and up on it I will place my throne for you to seize and for you to occupy. So stop kicking a shut door. Go in peace, for I have set the way.
Wow.
So I wrote this, God bless the word, and I wrote this, and I was dumbfounded because we have been talking and praying about the shut door, open doors. We've been praying about doors for a long time. And when he said the shut door, and he said, I have shut this door, I was dumbfounded. Okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm saying this with you to say, even in a place of rejection, even a place where there may be hope, even there a place where there may be reconciliation, there may be certain situations in your life where you're hoping for a reconciliation that you may see it.
And so just remember, even as the Lord has said in this word, he was saying, even in this word, what he's saying is, it's your suffering. It's through your suffering that I'm giving you an impartation. He's saying that it is through this that I'm going to allow you to go and make a way and prepare a way for people that I've called you to do, who I've called you to. So I don't know what's in your destiny. I don't know what the word of the Lord is over your life. I don't know what he's called you to do, but know that whatever this rejection is, use it as a tool, and don't use it as a crutch.
use it as the means that you would allow it to be a cornerstone for him to be able to build your throne for you to sit in and for you to do what you were called to do. Because the very thing that is causing you the pain is the very thing that he is hoping to get and gain from you to be able to do what he called you to do. So pray into that for those who you feel that that word is for you. Press into that, pray into that, and see how the Lord is going to shift in your life. So I'm thankful for this word because now I feel like I can be able to go forward and I can stop praying and stop fasting and stop seeking and stop kicking and stop screaming and stop knocking on something that the Lord has said, I have shut this.
Minister Lester. One of the things you said, I thank you for that testimony. I never forget being on the Bible conference call with Pastor Shannon, and me and him were talking, and I was going through something. It was probably about 5 or 6 years ago, and he told me, he said, it's one thing to sympathize. Mm-hmm. That's when you tell somebody, oh, we feel sorry for you, we're praying for you. Mm-hmm. But he said, it's another thing to be able to empathize. Because then you can feel the pain because you've experienced some of the hurt. And sometimes God puts us through things so that we can explain and break down and strengthen someone else because we know their pain and we've experienced it and we can empathize with them. Because it's one thing to sympathize, but when you can empathize and you feel that pain with them, you can help them walk through that valley of shadow of death. You can help them overcome. You can help them become better. And so sometimes, because God knows we're tough enough to go through it. That may be the opportunity that he uses us to help somebody else walk through who isn't as strong as we are.
Mm. Yeah, that's it.
Amen. Bless the Lord.
Amen.
Anyone else that wanted to share?
Okay, Reverend Joseph Thomas will be facilitating the call on Monday on forgiveness. So what I was initially planning to do regarding forgiveness was to look to see the emotional roller coaster that Joseph did went through to forgive his brothers. Reverend Joseph, did you want to continue that or did you want to do a different format?
I have a couple of other ones, but I mean, we can base it because Joseph was going to be in there.
Okay. Because, so it's up to you. You're facilitating the call. Cause we can do this. Yeah, we can do a part two on forgiveness.
Okay.
Because it's going to be Monday, so I wanted to see if, you know, if we needed to get volunteers for homework.
I'm sure looking forward to it, Joseph, because when you're thinking about unforgiveness, I just did not understand how people can still hold something 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years. It's hard. It's hard.
Yep. And I'm excited. And I've, even though I'm not as seasoned as some of our wonderful members and some of the ones on the call, God have put me in some, allowed me to experience some things where I've been able to forgive people from hurt that some people look at me and question, am I sane? And God will bless you. So many of you know the story and the struggles that me and Jalen and his mom did went through. And we were on the phone the other night talking for almost 2 hours. I would have never thought. And so, but if you don't forgive and you hold on to hurt, like you're saying, you have to get past that hurt. And getting past that hurt, you've been able to release and forgive somebody. So it's so much and so many opportunities. I think Reverend Lester and Minister Lester for their leadership and what they've done and it's important because when you're holding on to something, you're not allowing God to fully manifest and use you because you got something else that you're holding on. When you're supposed to be holding on to his unchanging hand, you still got something else in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
No. That's good.
When you forgive, Joseph, when you forgive and it's open like that, you become the cornerstone of that strength and foundation yourself. You become a better friend.
Okay, so we got a together. We got a plan, you all. We're going to resume this on Monday. Reverend Thomas is going to be facilitating, and he's going to facilitate how the Lord leads him. So we're just going to be in anticipation of what God is going to do there. And if Reverend Joseph, if you want to do a breakdown later or whatever, or want to reach out to just get some people involved, then I'll, you know, you can just do it like that. I kind of don't want to make assignments because I think the Lord is already going to give you something a little bit unique. So I'm looking forward to what he gives you.
Yes, ma'am.
So also I want to be able to share, too, before we close out on tonight, so Monday we're going to pick up on forgiveness. On Wednesday, there's the grief support ministry. So the grief class is at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock next Wednesday. We also have the prayer explosion, which is the second Saturday in August on August the 8th. And that explosion is going to be, I think it's going to be around 9:30 a.m., but more details will be forthcoming. That. Are there any other announcements or anything that I may have forgotten before we start in prayer?
We do ask your prayers for Tricia and her family on tomorrow. They'll be laying her father to rest. And reminded everybody who've committed to various things to bring for the repast to make sure it's there to the church by 11 o'clock on tomorrow, to the fellowship hall on tomorrow. And thank you in advance for your support.
Yes, yes, yes. Let's continue to pray for that family. And thank you, Minister Annette, for just organizing that and getting that all together. I'm also reminded that we have a prayer call because we do have other people that have lost loved ones. We have other people that are in need of prayer. So please join us if you're available. This same conference call in the morning at 7 o'clock a.m. Join us in our praying on Wednesday and Thursdays at 7 a.m.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to go ahead and close us out in prayer unless there was someone else. I thought I heard someone speaking. All right. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, God. We just thank you, Heavenly Father, for being so amazing and so wonderful and so loving, God. We just thank you for your for just your touch. Thank you for your arm that still reaches, Lord. And I just thank you, Heavenly Father, for everyone under the sound of my voice. I thank you for everyone connected with our church. I thank you, everyone connected with the households associated with our church. And I just thank you, Lord, that you're getting us to a place, God, that we can walk in wholeness, that we can walk in freedom, that we can walk in peace, God. So I just ask, God, that you would allow us to remove the chains of unforgiveness, remove the chains of rejection, remove shame. Lord, that we just thank you, Heavenly Father, that even removing guilt about things that we said, things that we did, things that we've caused, the rejection that we've even caused in other people's lives, God. Lord, we just thank you, Heavenly Father, how you're healing us and how you are allowing us to be able to walk in wholeness and walk in freedom. And we just thank you for the conversations that need to be said. We just thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would direct your people to the right ears that can listen. And we just thank you, Heavenly Father, that you give your people peace. And we just thank you that even as we move forward, God, and even as you're bringing things to our remembrance, we just thank you, Heavenly Father, that you will get the glory out of our life. That no matter what has happened to us, no matter the hurt, the trauma, the pain, no matter how difficult it was, we thank you that this is your glory to be had. And we just thank you for continuing to speak to us and continue to direct us and continue to love us so that we can love others. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Love y'all.
Bless you.
Love you.
God bless you.
Be blessed.
Mhm. Thank you, darling.
Be blessed.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
All of the glory belongs to you.